For 37 years, no American president has been cleared to speak directly to a leader of Taiwan. Since the U.S. normalized relations with Beijing, it's been forced to act as though a nation of 23 million people with a capital city, Taipei, about 3 million people, simply don't exist. This U.S. policy was compelled by China back in the late 70s after Nixon's opening to Beijing. Well, surely the stench of this don't ask, don't tell strategy for pretending things don't exist might attract some notice from the abnormalizer-elect, and it didn't take long. On Friday, President-elect Donald Trump, breaking 37 years of American precedent, accepted a call from the Taiwanese president, Tsai Ing-wen. The U.S. only formally recognizes the government of Beijing as China, and this is central to the U.S.'s relationship with China. Bonnie Glaser is senior advisor for Asia at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
Well, I don't think that the United States pretends that Taiwan doesn't exist, but there are certain procedures and guidelines that the U.S. uses to communicate and cooperate with Taiwan. In fact, I would say the U.S.-Taiwan relationship is quite robust. But yes, Trump is proving to be a very unconventional leader. He made quite clear in the campaign that he would not adopt traditional approaches, so I suppose we should not be surprised.
Is that an argument for moving the conflict between China and Taiwan forward? There's been such an incremental, glacial evolution of the relationship between these two places. Getting Trump in the middle of it like this does signal that, you know, people are going to have to change their worldviews a little bit.
Well, I think what Trump may be trying to do is reset the relationship with China, not just with Taiwan.
Right.
In fact, he has tweeted that China did not ask permission when it manipulated its currency to its advantage and built military outposts in the South China Sea. So it appears that this is part of a new strategy of pushing back against China. What's really problematic here is that Beijing may react very harshly, not so much to these tweets or even adjustment of policy on trade or South China Sea. But when it comes to Taiwan, this is very much a core interest. In fact, I would say China is neuralgic about Taiwan. And if the U.S. is seen to be supporting Taiwan at a time when it has a leader that is a member of a party that has long supported independence for the island, this can have dramatic repercussions.
Under no circumstances could we go back to the, to China policy, right? I mean, there's no way to unravel 37 years of established China on the world stage, Pacific diplomacy, right?
I think that would be very unwise, but I doubt that Trump is going in that direction. It's important to remember here that although the United States has a one-China policy, that it has not accepted that Taiwan is a part of China. So in the communique with China, the United States acknowledged China's position that there is only one China and that Taiwan is a part of China. So the United States deals with the People's Republic of China in the international community. It sees it as the representative of China in the United Nations, for example. But the United States has a very separate and strong relationship with Taiwan and believes that the sovereignty of Taiwan has yet to be determined.
Can that go on indefinitely, or is there a collision course here, and has Donald Trump really started some sort of wheel turning?
I think that China is willing to go along on the basis of what the U.S. and China agreed to so many years ago, beginning with Nixon's opening to China, unless the new president of the United States really challenges China's sovereignty directly. And then I think we are in a very different ballgame and could be very, very worrisome.
Bonnie Glaser is senior advisor for Asia at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.